You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show.
The world is a vampire. Da-da-da-da.
Welcome, everybody.
Whale Wars.
Love this song. Welcome back, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another season of Whale Wars. Season 5.
5.
Episode 1.
1.
Called Setting the Trap.
Setting the Trap.
I am your host, Phil Svitek, for those of you who remember me from last season.
I am his co-host, Ben Bottomley, who
welcome.
Might remember me from the latter half of last season.
Yes, and if you're new to the podcast, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here to save the whales with us. We don't quite fully save the whales, but we do talk about saving the whales a lot, for
yeah,
sure.
Definitely. So
welcome, guys. Yes, yes, another season of Whale Wars, and I'm very excited.
It looks like a really good season.
It does. It's been a full year of waiting. And, you know, last season we kind of debated, okay, is this the end of whaling? No.
I think I stood on the side that it was not, and I was right. If I did, I honestly don't know. I'm saying that because if I was, then I'm right now.
Yes. Well, and well, here was the cool part, too, and I will discuss this in our special segment this week more, was, you know, we didn't do... There was obviously the spin-off shows, or if you want to call them spin-offs. You know, there was like a Bluefin kind mm-hmm. of episode. It was more like a special.
Was it one episode? Or
it was kind of like a two-hour, hour-and-a-half type of deal.
Okay.
And then they had Viking Shore, which was like, I think, 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I watched them, you know, but I didn't necessarily... I only wanted to stick with the mothership, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
The mother show, which is this one. And so, regardless of... You know, the debate of whether whaling had ended or not, it obviously didn't worldwide, but now more so because we're back and the Japanese are back at whaling, i.e. we're doing the actual mother show, which is Whale Wars, whaling in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your take. Well, again, the Japanese are back, and they're feisty, those people. I didn't really...
They are back, and they're... bigger than ever. They have a $30 million security budget.
Well, I want to talk about it's interesting kind of watching this more and more how, you know, now with the fifth season, that it's more about politics. I'm learning about the politics behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we thought they had quit and that would be it. But clearly not the case. And you mentioned the $30 million. What baffles me is that this is funds from the tsunami.
Yeah, that is exactly what I was thinking. They are pulling money away from tsunami and earthquake reliefs to go defend their whaling fleet.
That, okay. Really?
That's
this is where
exactly
we're spending money?
What I wrote. Really, Japan? Really?
Hell to the north.
Exactly.
That's right.
Why?
Okay. Obviously, I think whaling is bad.
I do too.
And so, obviously, but at the end of the day, okay, if you're going to stand on it from a neutral standpoint, great, fine. If you have no opinion, whaling or not, do it. But the money that was supposed to rebuild your whole country's economy, nation, whatever, you're going to spend it on that?
Yeah.
Because wait. And from what perspective? Okay, wait. You don't eat the whale? You use it for research?
Mm-hmm.
What research are you gaining out of these whales?
Exactly.
That is so important that you need to pump $30 million into?
What research are you really getting that is going to be so important that you are putting your own, like, reconstruction, just kind of putting that to the side?
I mean, how much money... Marissa's our engineer in the booth this season. Say hello to the fans, Marissa.
Hello, everyone. Yes. What's up, Phil?
Well, I would like to know if you can just do a quick fact check for me. How much money has went to the tsunami relief over in Japan? And so that way we can kind of see percentage-wise what this... I mean, $30 million at the end of the day is still a lot of money, and you can get a lot of bang for your buck.
Which I think they plan to in the security department, which should be fun.
That should be fun. I mean, you know, they obviously teased it. What do you think it is? They teased it heavily of, like, what do the Japanese have? What do they have?
Yeah.
How do you allocate these funds?
I'm going to skip ahead, but they found four large targets that were not the Yushinmarus, I believe. Those are the whaling ships,
Yushin,
right?
Yes.
So... I honestly don't know what they've done, but I hope... I mean, I saw people in what looked like riot control gear on their ships and very large vessels, and I have no idea what they spent the money on, but it looks really cool.
I mean, it's just... I want to see the budget out for this. Like, what went where? I really do.
Uh-huh. I'm curious about that.
And it does baffle... I mean, obviously, it raises the stakes more than ever. I'm just curious where it all went to. And what sucks is, too, you know, I would have loved to see, you know, now especially so with watching Viking Shore and Bluefin, you know, obviously they kind of do this year-round in protecting Bluefin. It was, you know, Bluefin, so it wasn't
Bluefin
whales necessarily.
Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they protect whatever they need to.
And so obviously they kind of do this year-round. And but I just wanted to know, okay, so, you know, in terms of today, they weren't necessarily prepared for this campaign. They said it takes about 4 months to prepare for a mission like this.
Yeah. And they didn't say how much time they spent preparing. They just said it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Which I think was kind of apparent based on the slip-ups that they had.
Yes, it was. And but again, the question has been, let me ask you this. I mean, wouldn't... you have been prepared just because, I mean, you kind of do these campaigns just naturally. So wouldn't you kind of...
Well, you would think so. I mean, you'd think that they'd be getting ready to go out again. But like they said, Japan said they were done. They said they were done. And I guess they believed them. But then...
But you always have to be optimistic.
Yeah, you've got to... I mean, you've got to be prepared. But I don't know why they weren't. Maybe they were just so relieved that they really, truly wanted to believe that they weren't going back to Antarctica this year.
Yeah. And I would have loved to, I mean, you know, they got the call back from a guy basically at the Japan harbors. And then obviously they showed, like, ABC News footage and things like that to kind of give us the backstory.
I wasn't sure. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really get the vibe that that was 100% legit, but maybe it was. I don't know.
Well... The reason I bring it up, because I, you know, I'm not going to go at length about it because I went off about it last season, but just start, if you're going to track the Japanese, just get to Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, I guess there's probably legal reasons why they can't do it. Like, why they can't
hire us. Hire us.
We'll break the law. We're pirates. But they did have a new strategy to try to catch them off before they got to the whaling grounds, which... why didn't they do that earlier?
Yes. Well, before we talk about the full game plan, let's talk about the new players involved. And let's start with not necessarily a character, but, you know, last season it was the Gojira.
Mm-hmm.
We always love saying that name.
Gojira.
Now it's the Bridget Bardot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of briefed over, you know, I mean, you got the picture of why it was named that, right, Ben, today? From today's episode?
I don't remember why they named it that.
Well, because the part of the reason is they explained it at length in Viking Shore. I mean, basically, Bridget Bardot donated money.
Okay. Like the Bob Barker.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Steve Irwin was just the Steve Irwin.
Yeah, they just named it after him.
in honor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yes, and I love... You know, okay, so just in terms of the ships, I love the makeover.
Yeah, they got really cool new paint jobs.
Yes, and this wasn't in Viking Shore, by the way.
Really?
No, so this was...
I thought I saw a picture on their website a few months ago, before they went out to do Bluefin, I guess, and they showed the new, they called it like our new Sea Shepherd camouflage, and I was like, that's really cool.
So now... Now I'm blanking. But
they were black in those?
Yeah, I think it was still the old colors. Hmm. Like, you know, because I certainly would have remembered.
Yeah. They do look really cool, though.
You know, especially, I forget, I would get them so confused, whether it's the Bob Barker or the Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
And
I've got a hard time.
Or if it was both of them that were painted that way. Certainly, the Bardo was looking very good.
I know the Steve Irwin is painted that way, and I'm pretty sure the Bob Barker is, but because we didn't see any shots of black ships anymore, so I think they all got makeovers.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I promise we'll do more research about who's on what crew exactly, because
we're still pretty...
They rotate so many times, and it's
they don't really clarify what ship you're on.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to tell sometimes.
I mean, I know they put up the kind of the chyron that says Steve Irwin, Bob Barker, but it just switches so many times, and then talk about the helicopter, and yet, you know, that may be on, you know, a different ship, and so you're like, wait, I'm all right. But it's a little tough to follow.
We do have a lot of new crew members.
Yes, we do.
I don't know the names of most of them.
Well, I like Sid, the first mate.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's now kind of, Paul's boy, as we're going to call him.
Okay, Paul's boy.
No, and I like him. He's and he knows the waters very well.
Yeah.
Or it seems like, you know.
He seems like he knows what he's doing.
Seems like
more than Peter Brown did, who's back.
Peter Brown is back. Well,
I loved that first interview with him where he was like, these are actually my quarters, or they used to be. Like, he seemed so upset. Like,
I think
he was like, oh, look at what I had and I blew it.
Well, let me ask you this. Was he, obviously he was playing up for the camera, but did they do that interview specifically because they knew fans really didn't like him, and so they were trying to kind of bring fans back and say, you know what, at the end of the day, he's here to save whales, that's what he says.
Yeah, probably. I think they probably realized that everyone hated him. Mm-hmm. I think we did too, actually. I think we really bagged
him. He didn't leave on very good terms.
No, he was like kicked off.
Yeah.
But I think they probably did that to try to improve his image, because I guess, who knows, maybe he's changed. Maybe he's actually going to be a vital part of the crew this time.
I mean, at the end of the day, you always kind of get a second chance, and he has been on past campaigns, and you know what, at the end of the day, you want good people around you, and so, you know, Paul Watson, at the end of the day, he's a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you like him or not, you can't say he's a bad leader.
Yeah.
He's obviously doing something right, and so...
The fact that Paul chose to bring him back probably says a lot about the guy. I assume he's probably valuable to have on the ship, and I hope we'll see that.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, I'd be curious to see if I'm proven wrong, but I think he's brought back because he has a certain skill set, but people just don't like him, and neither does Paul.
Right.
But, you know what, we need a skill set, so who cares?
Mm-hmm. Although, to be honest, in the past, we haven't really seen that skill set, but who knows, maybe it'll emerge.
Yeah. But Sid is certainly
we've got great. A lot of diversity.
We do. And then we should talk about the captain of the Bardo. He was
first mate last time, right?
Yes, he was. And now he's in charge, and I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's good.
Yeah.
He's getting things done.
He is. Tracking down ships, evading ships.
Yeah, he's doing quite well. And then, unfortunately, we have to talk about Gary, the helicopter pilot.
Gary...
You know, and one of the girls said it so well. You know, we've been blessed to have Chris, and because he made it look so easy, and he has.
Yeah.
And
you didn't get the idea that what he was doing was hard at all.
No.
But Gary definitely shows that it is very challenging. And I feel, I mean, I would not be able to do that, obviously. A, I'm not a helicopter pilot. And B, it probably is a lot harder than everyone thinks. So you got to give Gary some credit, but to be fair, I mean, you should be able to pull off tasks like that. I don't know. I don't really like bagging on people for things that I can't do,
mm-hmm.
because I just don't know how hard it is, and I don't know if that was like, you know, I don't know.
No, well, I guess, I mean, I don't want to rag on the guy either, but I feel like here's the situation, and I'm going to kind of judge his character. Without really knowing him. When you're in these situations, right, and you're a pilot, and you just sort of find the this is it's like in sports. If you're a champion, you kind of rise to the occasion. And that's what Chris did every single time. That's, I mean, granted, at the end of the day, Chris might not be even, he might be like the 50th best helicopter pilot in the world. But there was a spirit in him that just made him really passionate and made him be able to do amazing things. Whereas Gary, you know, I feel like he wants to help, and obviously his I'm sure his heart's in the right place and he cares a lot, but there's that X factor that's missing that, you know, sports athletes have, or like, you know, that leaders have,
right?
And that they can, you know what, fine, regardless of the weather, I'm going.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he did kind of give up, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens later. He definitely got off the ground later on in the episode and tracked down several ships, I believe. I don't know. No, that's cliffhanger. Okay.
That's the cliffhanger. And yeah. But we'll talk about the cliffhanger because he's about 5 miles off of what could be the Nishun.
Mm-hmm. And that would be really cool if they found it that early on, but we'll see.
Well, there is. Speaking of that, we should talk about, because, you know, that's all part of the game plan.
Right.
But before we talk about a game plan, let's talk about a game plan of our own, how you guys listening to us right now can help AfterBuzz TV and help yourselves, actually, at no cost to you.
How can you do that, Phil?
Well, most of you guys probably shop on Amazon.com.
I know I do.
Well, yes, you do. We know. We know. And so now, you know, this we didn't have last season, so we've beefed it up. You can actually go to AfterBuzzTV.com, and on the homepage, or in fact any page, you'll see an Amazon banner right at the top. And so when you're making your next Amazon purchase for whatever it is, like,
which
literally
should be Whale Wars Seasons 1 through 4.
Should be that, and then
and any several sort of Sea Shepherd t-shirts.
That's right. I'm wearing my Shark Week t-shirt.
Close enough.
But again, it could be literally anything. And so instead of going to Amazon directly, go to AfterBuzzTV.com, click that banner that'll take you to Amazon. I'm sorry. And from there, purchase away as if you would normally. If you have rewards points, you can still use them, things like that. In fact, you get some sort of deal on shipping by doing for purchases over $25, and it doesn't cost you anything extra, and we get a percentage.
Yeah, we do.
It's a win-win-win.
You guys get items. It doesn't cost you anything more, and we get money.
That's right.
And
so
we can continue bringing you Whale Wars after shows.
And I know you guys will do it, but the key thing is also if you guys can tell a friend. Tell a friend. Let them know, hey, you know what? If you're making your purchase from Amazon, just go to AfterBuzzTV.com first.
It's very easy.
So, and thank you for that. That is going to be our game plan for this year, how we are going to stay afloat. But let's talk about Paul Watson's plan.
Before we do that, I just wanted to say there is a black man on the crew. This is a first. And
this
I'm
is
proud.
A first. This is a first.
And that's all I wanted to say about that.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about the game plan. So it's, you know, and I love the aspect of the show that I really love, besides, like, the quote, the battles, is when we see game plans and strategy, because, you know, I'm a chess player. I like chess.
Right.
And I like strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you initially think of the strategy?
At first, I was a little off put by the fact that they were going off of Paul's gut. I mean, I'm sure there had to be more intel than that, but who knows? The way they worded it, they kind of made it sound like Paul has this idea, so we're going to risk two of our ships and try to catch him off guard. And at first, I was a little wary, but I thought it was a good idea if it would work.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to work, and it all paid off, hopefully.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I definitely think they had more intel. And I also think, you know, when you talk about Paul Watson's gut, I mean, Paul Watson's gut has been to many campaigns. He knows how these people think.
Yeah.
He studies them. And so he's not just going off a hunch.
Yeah.
It's an educated hunch, mm-hmm, at the least.
Right. I don't know. I'm not Paul Watson, but I personally thought that was kind of something. It just seemed hard to predict to me.
Yeah.
But he was right.
He was right. And, you know, and it's always tough because obviously you would think, well, you know, again, you would think, okay, I want to go after the ships that respond, the harpoon ships, right? The Yushins.
You would think.
But no, because then if you find them, then great, everyone knows your location. Therefore, they're just going to...
The other ships can go whale while they know where you are.
Yeah. So, you know, and they explain that very nicely. And, you know, we've kind of talked about it in last season when they were kind of doing that. You know, they're getting tailed and they were trying to lose the tail.
Right.
But yeah, quite interesting. Like, you know, so the goal is to avoid those ships, but find the Nishun.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you're good.
It's weird. You want to avoid the ships that you are trying to stop, the killing ships, but it makes sense.
Well, and then, you know what's tough, though? And we've seen this in seasons past. It's not always a guarantee. What sucks is it's... All, at the end of the day, like the four ships, what scares me is that, okay, you find the factory ship, you have the harpoon ships, and if we spent so much money on this protection, all it takes is basically 30 seconds to unload a whale onto the factory ship.
Yeah.
And they've done this in the past where like they've done it in front of their eyes.
In front of them, yeah.
And so, you know, maybe it's the Japanese saying, you know what, fine, great, go for us.
Yeah.
Like, we'll still
bring it.
Do this.
We'll do it in front of you. You won't be able to touch us.
Yeah. And that's a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see where they spend that money still. Like, I saw some crazy things in that trailer at the end. I hope it's good.
Well, we'll certainly talk about the
trailer. I hope it's good, but I don't at the same time. I've got mixed feelings.
We do have mixed feelings. But the Bardo is very instrumental. What did you think of when they finally kind of saw the first big ship, or quote unquote?
I knew that it wasn't the Nishin Maru because it was episode one, half an hour into it. My knowledge of how TV works, I knew that it wasn't it. But that would have been pretty spectacular if they did find it that early on. But
that would have meant for a great season.
Yeah. Episode one, season over. I wasn't surprised, but I'm sure there were some hopeful fans out there that were pretty shocked. They definitely seemed let down that they didn't find it that early on. I would be too.
I mean, for me, it was more, you know, obviously we talked about it again. You don't want to find the harpoon ship. You want to find the mothership. And so they stumbled upon a harpoon ship. And, you know, then it was off to the races to get away from them, which they did. Which
are
is
we
great.
Talking about the harpoon ship or the cargo ship they found?
No, the cargo.
That's what I was referring to.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, my apologies.
Okay.
So yeah, they found the cargo ship. Yep. Then they found the harpoon ship.
Yushin Maru.
Yes.
That's what it's called.
And then eventually on the third one, they found the four ships.
Yeah.
But, you know, so on the second one, they were they found them, and obviously they were getting tracked, and then, you know, they sped up and got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, we saw the four, which is great.
Yeah.
And... You know, interesting. You know, good call. It's you know, now I really like how, again, now the stakes are elevated, and so more strategy goes into this. And again, they're explaining it a lot more.
Definitely.
I mean, I guess they have, right? They've always explained.
Not in this depth, I would say. I feel like I kind of really know what's going on this time around, and mm-hmm. I like it. It's really nice.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, they didn't want to send the Gojira to give their position away. But if you send the helicopter, even though it has to catch up, it actually can go faster. And it'll kind of go undetected.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're kind of left off now. And, you know, it'll be interesting. The ship that didn't go with them initially, they still haven't called it back yet.
Which ship?
It's the Bob Barker.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
They
that's the one going straight.
It. That's yeah. true.
You know, so that one is still on its way to Antarctica.
Is it not there yet?
I don't know.
It's either there or on the way. It doesn't really matter. But the
point is, you have the Gojira and I believe
the Bardo and the Steve Irwin.
That's it. Wow, I gotta get away from this. But yes, I just like Gojira.
Yeah, I do too.
I have a quick question, actually.
Yes.
I have never watched Wheel Wars, and you guys are obviously after fans.
After fans?
That's a new word.
You're super fans of this after show.
Yes.
You've been mentioning the ships' names, Bob Barker and Steve Irwin, obviously American icons. Is there a significance why they named the ships those names? Is there a reason behind that?
There is.
They got a boatload of money.
Bob Barker gave them a crap load of money, so they bought the Bob Barker with that money and named it after him. And Steve Irwin, they just kind of named it in his honor because he was, well, the late Steve Irwin, he, you know, he was very avid protector of animals, and that's what they're all about, so.
Okay, okay, that makes sense. Good to know. Thank you.
There you go.
No problem, Marissa. We got you covered, baby. By the way, speaking of, do you have us covered? Do we have an official statistic on how much money went to the tsunami relief?
I am still looking.
All right.
All right.
Well, I will let you know when I do.
Okay. I feel like Paul Watson. Can't even get the damn statistics.
I love the faces he makes. Still love them. I loved it last time, and I love it this time.
Yes, he has the best. Because I feel like he's always frustrated with what's going on. And, you know, he wants a very competent crew. And
but even when they come in and they're like, hey, Paul, we found the entire fleet before they even got to Antarctica. He's like, oh.
I mean,
that's just how he is, I guess.
I mean, what I would really like to see him. He's obviously very passionate in his interviews.
Yeah.
I would just like to see that passion kind of in his day-to-day. Because yeah. I think, I don't know, maybe he just saves it. Obviously, he's a public figure, and he speaks on behalf of the Sea Shepherds, obviously, basically every time. But not just carry that in your real life.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah, he could, but that would take away part of Paul that I love.
Fair enough. So before we talk about kind of where we are left off, fans, if you're listening, you know, one of the things that helps us here on the podcast is if you guys rate and comment us on iTunes. You know,
it is helpful.
It gets us more eyes and ears because we get more traction through iTunes that way. But also we listen to the feedback,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if there's things missing and things like that, we'll be glad to kind of improve upon it.
To constructive criticism.
We do very well. And the other thing is that also really helps us out and really, you know, it actually is proven to work because we've by design, not really done a lot of PR. You know, we tweet and Facebook and interact on that level of things because we found it actually garners more results.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of putting money into an actual PR campaign that who knows what will garner, if you as fans tell a friend, then I've seen it literally increase numbers.
Yeah.
And instead of using that money for PR, we can spend it here and get more cool things.
Yes, more cool things for your pleasure. We get free advertising.
Free advertising, yes. All right, so let us talk about the cliffhanger, the four ships, and things like that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think they'll find the ships, but I don't know what's going to happen at that point, to be honest. I've got no idea what they're going to do, because the season, obviously it's going to be a long season.
Yeah.
And it's going to be full of action, and it's looking good, but
yes. I mean, it was a very good first episode.
Yeah, it was very, very good. I definitely want to keep watching, so I think it was definitely did its job.
And before we take our break, and when we come back, we'll discuss Viking Shore and Bluefin, their kind of spinoffs. The one thing that it was kind of a mini piece of the episode, but I just want to kind of bring up nonetheless is the Bad Brother.
Yeah,
that may come back into play.
Uh-huh. What were they gonna do down there?
They were checking, they were assessing the damage.
Okay, that's it. All right.
That's it. They were just assessing the damage.
Okay.
And
of course, because it's Whale Wars, something went wrong.
Yes.
They had to come up. But they made it seem like someone got smashed by the boat, right?
I wouldn't want to do that.
No, that would suck. Those are heavy. But it turned out they were just tired, right? They were just, like, physically exhausted from having to fight so hard to stay down there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's no small task.
No, it isn't. I agree, it would suck.
You know, and speaking of Peter Brown, he was just on the deck, kind of just like, giving his interview, looking over and being like, yep, it's extreme. That's 9 tons of, or was it 9 tons or 900 tons of boat?
I don't remember.
Probably 900.
Yeah.
Because if cars... Yeah. Say,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, those are because the ocean's swelling, those are going to come up and down. They can slam on one of them and crush them.
Yeah, and again, now the worry is because we didn't assess the damage, how's that going to play into things? Especially, and we'll discuss this more in predictions, because they did talk about, okay, they've got to face the Japanese, and yet they got to face the harsh conditions.
Yeah. And so, speaking of facing the Japanese, there was a clip near the end where you see a couple of people, I don't know their names, they're sitting at a table and they're like loading their weapons to get ready, you know?
You're talking about our people?
Yeah, our people.
Okay, the Sioux Shepherds.
They had containers of paintballs still. And last season, John and I, we were questioning, what are you doing with paintballs? What are you going to do? Like, why are you using paintballs? I don't get it. You're going to, like, get the side of their boat dirty? Even if you hit one of them, a paintball will leave, like, a welt. And based on what we saw in that teaser, they are wearing, like, body armor. I think they have officially found the most useless weapon to use on this campaign.
Yes, but also, you know, I mean, they're using red paint.
Yes, and that's more symbolic.
Symbolic of blood, and, you know, so I think it's for the symbolism. Again, at the end of the day, while they kind of do violent acts every now and then, they are more of a non-violent group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't actually try to hurt anybody.
Which they should.
That's debatable. But at the end of the day, you know, and so when your ship comes back to harbor and, you know, you have red paint all over the side, then you're kind of sending a message.
A little bit.
To the world. I guess that's the theory. And, you know, they have their other ways too, you know. I mean, the most effective way I've seen is the prop fouls.
They're hard. Yeah, those are good.
But, you know, if you get it.
Leave them dead in the water.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do get the red paint, but they were green paintballs.
What? Well, I remember. I mean, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe.
Whatever.
Anyway, we'll come back after this commercial break, and we'll talk about the two kind of shows that we didn't do a full after show for right after this, and give our predictions for the season.
Hey everybody, John Comerford here. I've got my Mad Men with me.
Kevin Undergaro.
Phil Svitek.
For all you fans of Mad Men, we're your AfterBuzz TV hosts of Mad Men. Every Sunday right after the show, 9:30, we're breaking down the episode.
And you can also check us out on iTunes and YouTube the following morning.
We're going to get into the imagery, the symbolism, the structure. We give you all the information on Mad Men that the other podcasts out there don't.
Very insightful. You're going to love it. Check us out.
Please. Hey guys, this is the AfterBuzz TV crew for The Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Woo!
Don't forget to tune in every Monday night at 8 p.m. to see
Adrian Barrow,
Deanna Vaughn,
Susan Hahn,
Giselle Ugarte.
Buzz you later!
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Okay. What do you want me to do with that information?
We're back, baby. And for those of you who heard, Ben, we were discussing how we didn't talk about Gary mentioned the fact that it was a reasonably sized vessel.
Reasonably sized. Over a radio. What? How big is it? Reasonably sized?
I mean, they gotta have better descriptions than that.
Seriously. Like, everyone's interpretation of reasonably is different.
That, and again, they have to have their own kind of vernacular.
Yes.
You know.
What are you going to do with reasonably?
Anyway, let's talk about Bluefin and Viking Shore. Ben, so you didn't watch, right?
I unfortunately did not.
So this is going to be more of me talking at you.
Yes, it is.
And for those of you who did watch, I'm actually curious, if you're listening to this podcast now, you know, tweet us at AfterBuzz TV or leave us a comment on iTunes. I want to know what you guys thought of Whale Wars Viking Shores as well. It was the thing that I took out of it, they went to Marissa, look up the country specifically.
Norway.
No, it wasn't Norway.
It was Norway.
It was Norway?
I know it was Norway.
I know it was Scandinavia, but I thought it was like some sort of smaller country even that. But
do you want me to look it up? If you give me your phone, I'll look it up.
All right. I'll have Ben look it up while I talk at Ben.
Okay.
And you know, basically there's literally a ritual.
Okay, there is a ritual.
I feel like Ben,
it's a Scandinavian tradition to go out and murder all these animals, right?
Yes.
And they do it yearly.
And they, I mean, it's basically You know, the French used to do this. In fact, a couple, you know, hunters and things like that, rich people in the old day, where they literally go through the forest and be knocking, you know, sticks and things like that. Therefore, the animals would fled and they would, you know, they would run to a specific area and then they get slaughtered.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing is happening here, where you have a bunch of boats scaring the whales, all going towards the harbor. The whales get to the harbor and you literally
kill them on the shore.
You kill them on the shore. And, you know, obviously it's not seeing any of these images is not fun. No. Like on Whale Wars here, it's when they kill a whale, it's gruesome.
It's very
now if
nasty.
You think that's gruesome, Viking Shore was insane.
I saw pictures and oh my god, the water was red.
Yes.
Like, you've seen Saving Private Ryan, right?
Yes.
A beach scene, it was, like, that red. And it was real blood.
Yeah, and
but that was Beach of Normandy.
Yeah.
Yes, and this was, oh, my God. And, you know, and they've gotten sophisticated tools. And what was interesting, too, right. was the fact that they talked about, they gave the other perspective. You know, they were more on land this time around rather than water.
Yeah.
And they also brought in footage from, I believe, 1982.
That's
with
cool.
Paul Watson, you know, because he was kind of known, you know, for going there and trying to stop this. And obviously, you know, it's still going on today.
Didn't do a great job.
But it's a tradition for these people.
It took place in the Faroe Islands. I was wrong. It's off the coast of Norway.
Yeah, so there you go. The people of Faroe. And it was interesting seeing the Sea Shepherds interact with these people because they said, you know, we like you as a people. We just don't like that you guys do this one act.
Yeah.
And seeing them really defend it was quite interesting. And, you know, in theory, they brought up some good points, but then when you just see the images,
yeah,
I mean the images.
It's really hard to justify what they're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, I get it's a tradition, but you know, Paul Watson says whaling is a tradition that it doesn't belong in the modern world, and it should be left like behind in history where it belongs. And I kind of feel the same way here.
Yeah. I 100% agree. So, but again, it's an interesting look if you haven't seen it, because again, it offers a different perspective. It's a whole different feel to Whale Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's land based.
I mean, they're on land more. You know, because the whole thing is the whales come to the shore, and so you know they have people, you know, there kind of policing it. You do have, you know, a boat kind of out and about in the Gojira and things like that. One of the boats is actually, they can't leave because of international law or thing against them. Yeah. So they're waiting for bail to happen, which Paul Watson's setting up. So it's kind of interesting.
Huh.
And then Bluefin is about them saving bluefins and
bluefin tuna. I said dolphins earlier because I'm an idiot.
Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. But, you know, it was interesting because, you know, for that one, it was, you know, they were getting caught in nets, right? That's how they catch these bluefins. And so, you know, it was a different tactic for them to save these whales. So it was interesting. That was the most interesting point, was these different tactics on how to save, quote, the whales,
mm-hmm.
even though bluefin's not a whale.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend it. And so without further ado, Marissa, please take us to predictions, and we're going to predict this season.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
I'll let my co-host go first because he's very excited.
I will definitely look into Bluefin and Viking Shores.
Bluefin's like a special.
Yeah, it's like one episode, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like that, maybe two. But and then Viking Shore is certainly not long. It's about 6 or 7 episodes.
I will look into it.
So. But what do you predict for Whale Wars?
Whale Wars.
The Mother Factory.
I predict whaling will occur.
Marissa laughed in the movie. I mean,
their goal is to have 0 whales killed.
Well, it's always been that.
It's always that goal, but yes. I mean, that's a very good goal to have. I just don't know if they'll be able to keep it up.
I mean, we've escalated on our side. We have more spikes. We have more kind of, it seems like, you know, we talked about them having just paintballs. I think they're upping it.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm sure. I mean, they obviously didn't go into gear they have, so I'm sure they're going to bring out some big guns this time.
Yes, and then they're gonna face some more. I mean, it's gonna be an exciting season.
Yeah, there was some crazy clips in there, like people getting knocked off of those small, like almost jet ski things.
Yeah, and as Paul said, I think for the Japanese, it's about revenge. They were humiliated. Yeah. And so I think the Japanese will let stop at no cost and basically just kill off these guys.
Yeah.
And I think, did they board their ship?
Yeah, they will at one point. They're going to send three people onto the Japanese ship.
So, yes. Very, very good season. Maybe by next week we'll find out the number of funds that went to the tsunami relief.
I actually looked that up, and there's a bunch of different numbers out there, but as of March of this year, they said they have raised over $12.5 million for the Japanese Relief Fund. It's Japanese Earthquake Relief Fund, the JERF.
Wait, we've spent more money on this rescue thing.
12.5 and 30. Jesus.
Wait, we're going to have to fact check that. Because more money
is going to murdering whales than protecting their own people.
Yeah, that's some... What's the source on that?
The internet.
Someplace on the internet.
Someplace. So certainly not true. Bing. Did you Bing that? God, I gotta tell you guys. Anyway, thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Follow us on AfterBuzz TV. Tell a friend. And we'll be back.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later,
whales.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.